Would you care to kind of tell us about that experience you had when, in pursuing treatment, you actually wound up in Colorado?
Sure. No, that was, again, I had talked to a number of people in the medical community that had suggested this. And so I decided to look at it and try it for myself and went to a place where it was legal by state law.
Right.
Fortunately, it was adjacent. So I was able to go there with instruction and direction from my physician and try it as an alternative. And I, from my personal experience, I think it was very efficacious. Yes.
I wanted to, when I looked at that and I thought, there are going to be so many people that say, oh, look at this guy. Now, I live in a very blue district up here in Salt Lake City.
He lives up right over here on the east side.
Which, and you know, being like the only BYU graduate in my neighborhood is like already weird. Everybody's blue, but they're red, if that makes sense. So I'm like, I'm up there, and I thought, when I moved from Utah County, this is not a bill that I thought a super conservative, generally speaking, LDS member of our legislature would bring to the House floor. I'm going to Colorado. Did you ever think that this feels weird or this feels almost against, you know, my religion or against the law of some sort? I know you did it under medical supervision, but didn't it feel weird? I would have just felt like this feels weird right now.
It was definitely a unique experience. And I had those concerns and considerations. I tried to anticipate them and deal with them the best that I could. I brought my wife with me. I went to my ecclesiastical leader beforehand, had the conversation with him. From what I understand, the LDS handbook says it's a doctor-patient issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walked through what I was doing and why, I was told I wouldn't have a problem coming back after that experience getting a temple recommend. So I was satisfied. You asked about, is it against my religion?
Yeah, against the religious side. I mean, I think that initially, because that's the thing that I think most people who are listening to this right now will probably have the hardest time getting past, is that exact issue.
Well,
right?
Let's do this, because let's grab a quick break. We'll give Senator Manson a chance to catch his breath here.
I think this is more for your
after
sake.
After that sprint up from
let's give him a chance to catch his breath.
We have varying levels of fitness in the room right now. And then we'd love to take your text, 57500, if you've got questions for the senator. When we come back, we're going to get into some of the details. Now, this is not an effort to legalize marijuana generally. This is an effort to bring a treatment that makes sense to be used as a tool by doctors in specific situations. And so we'll roll out a lot of those details, and maybe this could be something. You know, we've talked so much on the Nightside Project about how to help the situation with prescription drugs. And, you know, I'm not saying it is, but this could be perhaps one of those things that we use to kind of take another chip out of that block, which has hurt so many families. So when we come back, more with State Senator Mark Manson. Send those texts into 57500, and we'll be right back. All right, we've got Senator Mark Manson in the studio with us, who is the sponsor of a new bill up at the Utah State Legislature that would legalize certain treatments that involved cannabis, that involved marijuana for medical purposes. And there are a couple of things that are brought up whenever we have this conversation, Senator. And one of those is they're concerned that, for example, someone might fake an illness or have some real minor affliction and then go in and lay claim to a prescription for weed. So how would you address that concern?
The hangnail syndrome.
Right. I've got a hangnail. Right. Give me pot.
So what most states have done, and again, we're joining 23 other states that have already gone down this road over the past several years. So we've seen experiments that have not gone so well, like California, and others that have performed better. We've borrowed a lot from Nevada, some from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But they all identify certain conditions, certain medical conditions.
Okay.
And we have, again, borrowed that list, and it would include things like cancer and AIDS and Crohn's disease. And there are others that escape me right now with the microphone in front of me, but there are a certain,
right,
it's in the bill. But what we have done beyond that other states have not, is we limit the doctors that can prescribe. So, for example, if we have somebody with cancer, then we match it. We have an oncologist is one of the specialties that can prescribe. And I think by doing both of those, by limiting the conditions that qualify and limiting the doctors that can prescribe. So it's not your family practice doc. It's not the one you're going to all the time. It's somebody that's seeing you for a specialized condition and has diagnosed you specifically.
What have the doctors? I mean, you've had to do your homework, obviously, on this. Aside from the personal, you know, jumping in that's had to be done in this. What have the doctors said? What have doctors said to you when you've sat down? Maybe not just with your own doctor, but with any doctor that you've talked to about this. What's the general consensus like? I'm glad you're doing this, or are they saying, "Hey, man, we're going down a weird road here," or "I don't want to have to deal with this," or what's the general feeling that you're getting from the physicians that you've talked to on this? Because honestly, those are the ones that I'm going to go talk to my father-in-law about this and be like, "What are your thoughts on this?" Because I think the physicians obviously have a unique feeling on this as well.
Absolutely, and to preface that, one of the things I would point out about the bill is it does not force anybody to do anything. It does not force a doctor to prescribe. Certainly doesn't force a patient to take it. It treats it like any other treatment, and that is if the doctor and the patient between themselves decide it's best, then that's what they do. Doctors don't believe in lots of treatments. My mother-in-law passed away from cancer, and she and her doctor decided not to do chemotherapy, for example. So again, this bill doesn't force anybody. Certainly doesn't force the doctors. You asked what's the consensus, and I wish I could tell you there was a consensus. Because the medical community is divided, and I'm not going to pretend otherwise. There are a lot of people that strongly support it, a lot of physicians that are already engaged in an informal counseling of their patients to help them. National polls probably suggest stronger support amongst the physicians than I would have experienced. Some of those polls go 85%, and I don't know that that's where what I have found. And so we have very highly qualified, well-credentialed people that will be testifying at the committee tomorrow in support. But I know that there are doctors that have a completely different opinion, and that's natural for any treatment, I would imagine.
We got a few text questions coming in. One of them asks, how would this be administered? Is this something – now, naturally, everyone's going to think – you smoke it.
Well, like how did you ingest it when you went to Colorado?
Well, okay, there were two products that I took. One was a gummy, so like a gummy bear substance,
an infused candy.
Yes, it was infused with the substance, and then there was a specific dosage. If you took one gummy triangle, that you knew that you were getting the 10 milligrams or whatever the measurement was. And so I did that, and then also a vaporizing pen. There's a name for it,
but vaporizing.
It heats. It doesn't combust it. Combusting is unhealthy and it's wasteful. It burns a lot of the medicine, it's a very high temperature, and it burns the organic material. Not at all what you want. We don't want people to taking their medicine in an unhealthy way. So still combusting at all, smoking it is illegal. But to vaporize it to a much lower temperature, just to the point where the ingredients are activated. We do allow that. That is a much more healthy way, and that's one of the ways that I used to take it when I was there. Now, again, on that, it looked like that vape pen or whatever looked like a cigarette. I felt like FDR. You know, you always take pictures of them with the cigarette extender because it was longer than
a big long. Yeah,
yeah. And I and folks have come to me and in fact suggested that we keep combusting prohibited. And I would like to go one step further. And so we want to prohibit any configuration that causes mimicking of smoking or an unhealthy way. So, mm-hmm. And I tore that thing apart when I had it, and the electronics could be configured so it would look like an inhaler, for asthma.
Sure.
And so you don't have that visual, even in for somebody taking their medicine.
Well, and I think that culturally that would be very helpful, and for people who are taking the medication.
That would be unique to Utah, but I think it's appropriate for Utah.
Well,